Massage Sues Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Mark Topol, an author of a young children's book titled The Raindrop Who Lost His Cloud But Found His Purpose. The main character of the story is a small raindrop who spends his days sipping on clouds and contemplating his purpose in life. Yes, can you imagine a raindrop contemplating the purpose in life? And we're going to be talking today to Mark about children having a purpose in life. Yes, I know that may be a new concept for some, especially those of us that are still looking for our own purpose. But let me assure you, Mark will enlighten us on this topic. But first, a little bit about Mark. Author Mark A. Topol is a mechanical engineer for Seagate Technology. In the past, he has worked for Smith Industries to manufacture access delivery systems for chemotherapy. He was born and raised in northern Minnesota and attended Concordia College and the University of Minnesota Institute of Technology. He has one college-age son and lives in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning. God, it's great to talk to you. I love to talk to authors that have written children's books because it really inspires me how your imagination can work, you know?
I wish I understood how it worked.
Well, maybe just being a child at heart always works.
Right.
And helps, of course. So, now, your book, and I'm looking at it right now, it's really pretty. I understand it was illustrated by your niece.
That's correct. Summer.
Yeah, and the title of the book, The Raindrop Who Lost His Cloud and
yes.
Found His Purpose. And the theme of your whole book, as I mentioned, is purpose. Now, this is for an early reader, ages 5, 6, 7, 8.
Right.
I'm just kind of curious as to what your understanding is with children that age and really knowing or looking for a purpose. That's a pretty heavy, big word to use for a child that age.
What we initially, when this was written, as I am an engineer, I was not even thinking of in terms of what age group this would be. I have no training in child psychology. I am not an educator for young children. What was interesting was I did submit it. I talked it over with a child psychologist friend of mine, Dr. Stigar Toppe. And when the early copies, I gave him an e-copy, and he shared it with his grandchild, who was it's his birthday. He lives in Japan, and he did it on Skype, so he could see his facial features as he was reading. And he said, I decided to read and display the raindrop to him. He said he was utterly spellbound. And he said the young children have a natural sense of awe, teaching him the pursuit of pursuit of transcending purpose. And he goes on to say it imbues them with awe they crave naturally. So he apparently there is some kind of they're like little sponges, and they will pick up this stuff. And how what you tell them and can give them an inkling of sticks with them. So he was quite excited about the book at the time. So that's why we kept on proceeding. At least I knew I wasn't going to be doing any harm.
Exactly. Well, I'm just kind of reflecting back to my own children, which are 40 years old now, so it's been a long time, but kind of reflecting back to my own childhood, too. And as children, we can't really define it as purpose, but we want to have that purpose. We want to do things. We want to be accepted.
Oh, yes, definitely. The acceptance part of it is very big for teenagers and children alike. And even at a young age, everybody can find a purpose. With life as tough as it is right now, a young child can find, well, I can contribute a little here, just at least by making sure I put my toys away, not leaving the Lego blocks out for people to break their feet on, you know.
I have to get you to get another example because I don't know if that one's going to work. But, you know, also there has to be that instilling of that by the parents. So the parents themselves have to understand that they have a purpose in life. And, you know, and many times I think that the parents, of course, their purpose when they have small children is to provide for the child. But also, the parent has to teach that child that purpose, and like you say, to put the toys away. So I would like you to just talk about that a bit.
Well, there's a responsibility in parenting that when people start out as parents, how much they think about all the responsibility they're going to be stuck with. It's for the life until that child is on their own, it's a little daunting. But it starts out with you have this blank slate, and you've got to fill it up with things. And how organized they are, and how their spiritual thought processes go, and what their priorities are, that all becomes part of it. And we're just programming them little bit by little bit with everything they see and everything they hear and everything they're around.
I like the word that you used, programming, and that's probably from your technical background too, but that's exactly what we do with children. And so they grow up with these imprints, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do like the concept of your book. And I'm just wondering if you said you didn't particularly write it to an age group, but it seems to me, because of the way the writing is, as I'm flipping through it right now, it is for a child that has just started to write. So the psychologist that you had talked to, what words of wisdom did you glean from that?
Mostly it was that I wasn't doing any harm in the story itself, and that it was going to be useful to both the parent and the child.
You use the word rogue.
Yes.
And that's a pretty big word for the stage group, and yet it definitely covers, you know, the behavior that is actually happening right now, especially with the bullying that goes on in school.
And it's not a very common word, really, either, but it's one of those fun things that little kids like to have some big words.
Uh-huh.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's not something to have a little fun with.
The only thing that, you know, when I think of rogue, it's usually rogue cops. You know, they're just like, cops are rogue. But here we are, this raindrop is a rogue. And so the other thing that also your book portrays a lot is just being individual and making individual choices and not going with the crowd. And I'd like you to just talk a little bit more about that and peer pressure and why this is so important and how you get this through in your book.
This country right now, it seems like we are living in a very split society. We hear it in the political terms, you know, the Republicans versus the Democrats, and they both have their strong opinions, a very opinionated society, and it's lots of issues that we covered on. Or you can, in some countries it's more on religion, in some countries it's class oriented. But in this one, we have the one group, which is purely sticking strong to this is the way it is, this is the way it's always been. And you can hear the strong German Lutheran going down, this is how you're going to do it. But then he's thinking to himself, you know, there's got to be more to life than just jumping off a cloud and going into a puddle. So he's looking at the world out there, and he gets this idea in his mind that it's got to be more, and he takes that leap of faith and goes out there to discover not necessarily maybe at first what he thought was his purpose, but as an alternative reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then learning along the way that there can be more than one reality, depending on how we look at things, and what fits us might change over time. But what is the best one that we can pick that will do the best for the most people or for ourselves? And then sometimes you can combine those. Sometimes you can have a purpose that works for improving the world and for improving ourselves and helping others.
I really do like the terms that you just used, alternative reality. You know, there's just so much TV going on right now, and the kids are so exposed to this, too, that it just really makes them, I'm sure, difficult to really determine which is reality.
And not only TV, TV is actually, in my mind, is becoming a passé. We're more into the games and the internet now.
Yes.
Our society, our lives, when we grew up back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, 70s, yes, it was TV, heavily TV. And now, how many of them sit around and watch a TV show on the major networks now? Not very many.
Yeah.
You're primarily going to be getting most of your reality from very violent video games.
Mm-hmm.
And not nearly as much from the church like we would have done maybe when we were kids or our parents. So it's a whole new game. And how we react to those and how we pay attention to them is critical. You know, we have this little voice in our mind that says, check this out. Don't take everything that you see and hear as the gospel truth. You know, think a little bit for yourself here.
Now, your book, again, it's just a reminder to the listeners, The Raindrop Who Lost His Cloud But Found His Purpose. When I read it, I did find those spiritual undertones to it, but yet, I mean, there's nothing that depicts that specifically. But you certainly did bring that in. And I just would like you to kind of address that and why you chose to do it that way.
I don't think it was totally up to me. Like I said, this story popped into my mind as I was driving down the road, and this is the whole metaphysical, mystical portion of this whole book to me. I don't write children's books. This thing came to me, and the more I explored the book after I wrote it down to try to understand where my subconscious or wherever it came from, it shook me up more and more at the time. To me, personally, it is kind of the great, it's the second half of the great commandment of Jesus. It could also be some of the teachings of Buddha. But then there are other similar places where this has come up over and over again in history. But to do it in a way which is not based on religion, I think will be more acceptable to the population, to children as a whole. They're not getting beaten over the head with a Bible, a Koran, or whatever the document of the day is. It's just the basic, clear thought of doing things that are good for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what the real message is that's coming in there. It's written, again, on the back of the book, you know, the only a life lived for others is worth living.
Yeah, by Albert Einstein.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Mark Topol. He is the author of the children's book, The Raindrop Who Lost His Cloud But Found His Purpose. Interesting, isn't it? Realizing that children actually have a purpose gives us a new perspective and possibly even a new direction of how we will respond to them in the future. Sure is making me do some thinking, even though I don't have any children anymore. Well, I do. They're grown up, but I do have grandchildren and friends have children. So stay tuned because there is more. And by the way, Mark's website address is marktofel.com. So now that you mentioned metaphysical and you got this message, I'm going to direct this question to you. Do you think that this story that came through to you was actually a message for you?
Oh, I think in some respects it was at the time. It was directly related to something towards me and something in my subconscious doing it in a way that was very subtle. But you like my son would say, that's why they're English majors. Every time you read this thing, you get a little different way of looking at things. And how that all works in a person's mind, I don't know. Just these things will come up, and then you have to kind of glean through them afterwards and see, now what was I thinking about here?
And I agree, and this is why it's important for children to keep reading this book, because each time they read it, they will get something different. And, of course, ourselves as adults, too many times, when we read something a second or third or fourth time, we'll get a different message. But it's where we are at that time is what message we need to receive.
And I just, when I hear other people read it in the comments I get back, and then the things that other people have picked up, I find are very interesting, because everybody seems to have a little different take on it. Mm-hmm. And when you hear it, you say, oh, yeah, now I can see that aspect, too. So that's what's kind of interesting, is all the, because you can share ideas with this book. It'd be like a book club. In fact, we are going to be presenting it at a book club here this week.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And just kind of reflections back what you just said, there's a saying that goes, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And certainly this book is a great teacher, and the message in it will be different each time, too, that it's being read. So I'm very curious, Mark, since we were talking about purpose in life and sort of getting a child, in their minds instilled that they need to have this purpose in life. Do you know your purpose in life?
I think this book has helped define a purpose in life for me.
Uh-huh.
I think I was more floundering around trying to determine what it was, but I think it's clarified it, the idea of helping others. And that seems to be a key part of life that is more than anything that you can buy or find at a gift shop or a knick-knack shop or on a beach. You have the ability to make a difference in somebody else's life and therefore in the world is a lot more important, and it really comes out after trying it, I guess is the only way I can put it.
Well, too, and as we both know, that once we make a difference in someone else's life, it's like the snowball effect that coming down the mountain. It just picks up speed, and it picks up more and more, and it goes viral, basically. I don't know how a snowball can go viral, but as we help one person, that person gets that benefit, and they give it to others and others and others.
We had an interesting sample of this, I would say, in the last year, where a friend of mine had ovarian cancer. And she died on Halloween. She had three children living at home yet. And I was working, trying to keep her poor little car running and helping the kids get to all their baseball and hockey games and work and getting them to other things. And then other people started joining in and helping me with this through the church. And then we had the hockey leagues and the baseball teams and everything else. They were all working on it, too. And, in the end, it was just, we had this mass effort going on and trying to help, so that when the end came, there was more of a support system going here now for this family.
And, that's so important. And there again, this is what your book depicts, too, is that teamwork.
Yes.
The support system, being together, you don't have to do this all alone. And many times when we do struggle trying to do things alone, it just doesn't work, does it?
No, I think a lot of the attempts, people try to do it, but it's just too much.
Exactly. And so your book does talk about teamwork, or indirectly sort of gives that underlying that let's do things together. This is how things spread, too. So I just want to kind of get you to talk a little bit about this teamwork.
Well, in the book here, it's a team effort for Fleck. Fleck comes along, and he's trying to get back to the ground. And indirectly, they start talking about purpose and what he was trying to do. And Flex says, well, what I would really like to do, of course, is I would want to raise flowers. And he's like, wow, that sounds like fun, you know, but you know, how would I be able to contribute to this? Well, then Fleck comes back, well, you need to have water for flowers to grow. So then I get really excited about it, you know, and then, you know, that's when it develops. And then it goes on from there to a bigger purpose, and that's when it blossoms.
I'm just looking at look here. It says here, what if he just evaporated away before accomplishing anything?
Mm-hmm.
That's such an important question that you've asked here, for the child to really think about, to really, really think about what is it that they want to do before they do evaporate. I mean,
yeah, evaporation is a very big concern for a raindrop.
Of course.
He's just a tiny raindrop. He's just bouncing around, you know, so he's just tiny at that time.
And, of course, a small child can relate to that because, you know, they're tiny too. The evaporation can just mean so many things to them, abandonment issues, you know, could come up, being rejected, all these things. And I really like your book. I read it and I thought, wow, this is really neat. And our little 6-year-old reviewer also loved it. So unfortunately, he's just a little bit too shy. I wanted him to come and talk to you today.
Oh,
he's just so shy, and maybe in about a year or two, and he just kind of finds his own place and purpose in life.
Okay.
Which I'm sure that this book.
I was curious. Do these children, do they apply to be readers for your books?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this little guy that reviewed the book and just loved it so much, he started actually when he was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so, and his mother, of course, helps because at that age, but we always ask that the parent or whomever, in one case we have a grandmother that reads with the child, they capture exactly what the child gets out of it or says. So.
But that is one thing that I remember when my son was little, was being able to sit down at night or whenever, nap time, you know, and being able to read those books.
Yeah.
From the library, picking them up by the armloads and bringing them home, and we'd go through them, and you know, some we liked, some we didn't, you know, but just it was so much fun to be able to have, and that's maybe one of the most memorable times I had. And I hear now that some parents do not want to do this because they say, well, the kids should just start reading from words only and not monkey with the pictures. But I think it's such a loss because it's so good for both, and the kids have a way to can put it all together because they can use their imagination at this time too.
Exactly. And books like this also give the child, there's a story, a great story. They can get into the feeling. They can put themselves into the character and live through that character, which is really neat, and children are able to do that, which, you know, a lot of times us as adults sort of lose that ability. You know, we grow out of it, or, you know, life moves on. So, gosh, Mark, this has been just really a neat conversation, and I know that you're very proud of your book, and you certainly should be. And I do encourage the listeners today that whether you're a parent or a grandparent or a relative of, you know, some sort, aunt, uncle, cousin, or to really take a look at this book. It's called The Raindrop Who Lost His Clouds But Found His Purpose. And the author whom we're speaking to today is Mark Toefel, TOFFE. And it's a great book. It has a great message. So, Mark, just remind our listeners what your website address is.
It's MarkToefel.com. MarkToefFle.com.
Great. And do you have any words of wisdom to our listeners who may be parents or grandparents listening right now?
I'd say don't hesitate to pick up a book and read to your children. It's one of the best things you can do.
You know, you're right. It's one of the best things you can do, and it just reminded me of a little funny story, and I'm going to just take a few minutes to tell you that when our son was, he was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and he had this book that was his favorite, and I had to read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it for days and weeks and months, and I was just done with that book. I was so done, but he wasn't, And so I decided that I was going to skip a few sentences here and there to rush it through, and I got caught. And it was an interesting situation I was in, and then I decided, you know, this isn't about me. This is about him enjoying it.
Well, the most fun I had was my mom would read the books to me as a kid,
uh-huh.
and she would start falling asleep, and she would start making up stuff.
And you had memorized that book.
It was so funny. It was so funny to hear stuff she would make up.
That's great. Thank you again, Mark, for taking the time to talk to us. And thank you, listeners. I know that you will be really pleased when you do check out this book. Again, it's The Raindrop Who Lost His Cloud But Found His Purpose by M.A. Toefel. And thanks again for listening. Come back and listen to others. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.